You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos in the fifth chapter, Asara Nisyanos Nisnasa Avram Avinu, that during Avram's lifetime, he underwent 10 very, very interesting types of Nisyanos, trials and tribulations. Amad Bekulam, the Mishnah says he succeeded in the Nisayon, he passed the test. And the purpose of all these Nisyanos, to show the intensity of the love that Avram Avinu had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sign has a purpose to test us, but the test, ultimately speaking, is to test the level of the love we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, what does this mean on a deeper level? What this means on a different level is that the mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, which we recite twice a day in the Shema Yisrael, we say in the morning and the evening, has the following Hemshech HaPasik contained in the Nusach of the Shema Yisrael, Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, V'chol Levavecha, V'chol Nafshecha, V'chol Miyadecha. You have to love Hashem with your entire heart, with your entire physical being, with all your financial substance. And what this means, quite obviously, is that Avas Hashem has to be demonstrated by activities that you perform that demonstrate Mesiris Nefesh you have on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more Mesiris Nefesh you have in dealing with the Nisyonos of life each and every day, that demonstrates, in turn, the amount of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have, because if you didn't have that much love, you wouldn't have that much Mesiris Nefesh to deal with the Nisyonos we are given each and every day of our life. So we therefore see that built in to the concept of Avat Hashem, not only is it an emotional feeling, an intellectual concept, but also requires factual proof that you really possess Avat Hashem. And the Nisyonos you're confronted with during life, and the Mesiris Nefesh, how you react to these Nisyonos, demonstrates the intensity of the love you actually have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the connection between Asara Nisyonos and Avat Hashem. It's included in the Pshat of the Pasuk, and the Mishnah says, Avram passed the test. His Mesiris Nefesh was simply incredible. That showed he loved Hashem with his entire being, his entire soul, his entire physical substance. He was willing to risk his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give all his financial substances on behalf of Hashem, his entire heart, his entire being, Yetzer Tov, everything was geared to manifesting the love he had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, he was a role model of what it means to love Hashem on the highest level. Now, what I want to point out to you, and we're going to get into now to the heart of the shiur, is when the Rambam codifies the mitzvah of Avat Hashem in his Sefer HaMitzvos, he points out that, in fact, Avat Hashem has two different parts, two different chalakim. One is the Avat Hashem that you demonstrate with your own personal activities, and the way you interact between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way you interact between yourself and mankind at large. But primarily, the first chalak is geared to the person who is manifesting this Avat Hashem. But then, based upon the Gemara, in Masechtas Yoma, the Gemara points out Avat Hashem has another chalak. And to quote the Gemara, what does V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha mean? Ahalveyu al habriyos. We have a halachic requirement to not only love Hashem ourselves, but to teach other people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cause them over time to develop a love to Hashem as well because of our instruction, because of our role model example, that they should also be Ohavei Hashem. The lashon of the Gemara is Masechtas Yoma Daf Peivav, Ahuveyu Habrios. Make Hashem beloved to other human beings by your instruction and your role model example. That's another chelak of the mitzvah of Avat Hashem. And the Gemara there points out that there's a formula of how you accomplish this. How can a person make Hashem beloved by others besides themselves? So the Gemara gives the following formula, a very interesting formula. He says, when a person was able to study in their youth Torah Shebitzav and Torah Shebapeh, and that person had incredible role models to guide them in learning the Torah Shebitzav and Torah Shebapeh, they had good rabbeim, or they had good rebbitzins when it comes to a woman Tamidah. And as a result of that intense Torah education of Torah Shebitzav and Torah Shebapeh, what happens to them when they go into the big wide world, Masa Masna Be'emuna, they develop an impeccable ethical and moral behavior and character. The way they interact with other human beings is literally and simply incredible. Sterling reputation. When you have Masna Masna Be'emuna, and therefore you show that the ethics and morals of the Torah itself has quite obviously developed in you a very unique spiritual personality, to the point that you're able to be fine-tuned, that when you deal with human beings, you deal on the highest ethical, moral level possible. And then, v'dibura b'nachas in abriyas, the way you speak to other human beings, the way you interact with human beings, people can be judged of who they are, what they are, by the language that they use, the fineness of the language that they articulate as they express their thoughts, their emotions, their feelings, using proper language, chas v'shalom ever talking the type of repugnant curse language that's used in society at large, dibur benachas bebrios, the way you talk to people, the element of feeling that the person who you are talking to should be respected and you should speak to them in a respectful fashion. When people see your ethical, moral conduct in interaction with them on all levels, and they hear the respectful language that you use continuously, no matter what inyan you're talking about, no matter what topic you're involved with, when they see such a very, very special person who they know was educated in an Torah environment, being taught Torah Shebitzav and Torah Shebapeh, and you had incredible Torah mentors, whether male or female, depending upon whether you're a male or female. When they see a Jew or Jewess acting this way and interacting with society in their personal dealings, in their business dealings, in their professional dealings, the Gemara says what happens over here is people start saying, wow, look at that Jewish boy, look at that Jewish girl, Kamenor Masav, look how beautiful and magnificent and sweet and very special are the way they conduct themselves, the way they behave. What you do is you cause Hashem's name to be sanctified by being Mekadesh Shem HaShemayim, to show the impact of the Torah education upon you and your personality and the way you behave. When you act in a format of being a Kiddush Hashem machine in everything you do and say and interact with other people, you cause people to develop a respect not only for you, but for your religion, for the God who taught you this religion, who you worship, and therefore, ultimately what you cause by this Kiddush Hashem activity is that God's name should be beloved by others, because people say, look what God and His Torah taught this human being to be, how to conduct and interact with other human beings to make us have a loving society, avas habriyos, such a pleasant type of environment created by this type of Torah personality, this male or this female, this Jewish boy or Jewish girl. That causes Hashem's name to spread in society and say, wow, this is the power of Judaism, this is the power of Torah, this is the power of their God, who they worship. Not only are you Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, but you cause God's name to be beloved by others. Chazal tell us that the impact of Avram Avinu when it came to interacting with society was on such a level. That's why when Avram used to go and meet with different pagans, Ovid Avodah Zarah, even when he wanted to buy, for instance, the burial plot for his wife Sarah, in Chayasara, They refer to Avram as Nesi'el Kimato B'Sachenu. You're a prince amongst us. He had a regal bearing. The Goyim looked up to him as a very spiritual individual, a very holy individual, a very, very regal individual. So Chazal point out, if that's the case in Avat Hashem, you impact on Avat Hashem, not only where you conduct yourself to God in your personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Yahavta when it comes to yourself, but the way you interact with other human beings, with ethics and morals and purity of speech and such, that ultimately causes the other people start to develop a respect for you, your religion, and for God. In fact, there's another pasuk in Parshas Kisavu which says, Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lech, when the Goyim will see that the name of God is called upon you, that God, his ideas, God's concepts contained in the Torah, which have become embedded in your personality and the way you conduct yourself, when they see the name of God that's been embedded in you, Yoramimeka, they'll learn the fear of God and the love of God by seeing the way you conduct your life in this world. This causes an incredible Kiddush Shem Shemayim, with you generating Ava Tabriot and Ava Fahakadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Avram is called in Tanakh Avram Ahuvi, Avram, my beloved one, the one who loves me and causes other people to also love me as well because of his impact upon them and the way he conducts his life and interacts with the rest of society. That is really why HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally fell in love with Avram and Sarah. He saw the way they conducted themselves with other human beings in society. HaNefasha She'asa B'charon, the neshamas that he was Makarev and Sarah were Makarev, brought them back from idolatry to become monotheists, to believe in God, to observe the Zaymis B'nei Noach. He did this with love and kindness and outreach. His whole activities of Gamilas Chasadim, Chesed, not only did he benefit society by ultimately speaking, giving them the tzedakah, the Chesed they needed, by bringing them into the household and feeding them, giving them a place to sleep, guiding them and helping them get on their path to the next part of their journey. Not only did he do the concept that you're supposed to do when it comes to B'machnas Archim, but he developed an entire motel system called Eshel Avraham, Achila, Shtia, Levoya. He gave food, he gave drink, gave a place to sleep. He also gave a ability to give people directions how to continue on the trip safely, even escorted them a little bit. And Chazal say, when they wanted to thank Avram for all that he gave them, he says, don't thank me, thank the God who gave me the blessing to give it to you. So he introduced God into their life. And slowly but surely, he made them have a Ava, not only for him and for Sarah, but for the Rabbein Hashem, that's the source of all the resources that contributed to his Gemilas Chesed. This was the Avedas Hashem of Avram Avinu and Sarah on an ongoing basis. They were the paradigm examples, therefore, of what it means to love Hashem on a personal level, despite all the nisyonos they confronted, as are described in the Torah. And besides their own personal relationship with Hashem and how they succeeded in passing the test, and the nisyonos demonstrating their love to God, as the Mishnah says, they brought along the rest of society to develop a love for God as well. The Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah points out, by the time they finished their mission over who knows how many years, tens and tens and tens of thousands of people around the world became Chasidim and Chasidos of Avram Visara. They were overwhelmed with their love and compassion and concern for human beings, and this brought them to come to respect and believe in one God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to forsake idolatry, to forsake all the craziness that existed in those tekufos. Avram was told by Hashem, I'm going to change your name from Avram to Avraham, from Sarai to Sarah, Ki Av HaMangoyim Nasatich, I've made you the spiritual mentor, the spiritual advisor of the world at large. Avram took care of the men, Sarah took care of the women. Their tents were set up when they used to go from place to place, to be the places that Avram was Makarev of the men, and Sarah was Makarev as the women. It's an incredible, credible life story of a tzaddik and tzaddikas, that because of what they did that was different than everybody else in society at large, they had the schus not only of inspiring the generation, but even though their generation at large were corrupt and basically rebelled against Hashem, as the generation of Noach were basically sinful, rebelled against Hashem. In Noach's case, Noach was saved and his generation was destroyed. In Avram's case, because of his personality that was much different than Noach and his mishpacha, Noach did not outreach to other people. He made sure his family were religious and observant and believed in God. True, he built the teva, but he didn't really go out to outreach people to basically bring them in and back to Hashem and do what Avram and Sarah did. When Avram and Sarah demonstrated what their interaction is with society at large, not only were they particularists concerned with their own spirituality, they were universalists concerned with the spirituality and the health and welfare of society, that caused such a kiddush shem shamayim and such a spiritual revolution. Hashem then chose Avram and Sarah to be the progenitors now of the future Klal Yisrael that's going to come into existence many hundreds and hundreds of years later on when it comes to the Tekufa of Kabbalah Satira. So therefore, the way that Avram and Sarah conducted their life, they were the personification of what Ava Hashem means. They were the personification of what it means to take your Ava and spread it through society. So everybody should be involved in Ava Hashem. And likewise, besides all of that, they also, Chazal tell us, did something else. And that is, they were therefore given the charge that as the progenitors of the Jewish people, you're going to have the responsibility to impact upon all the people of your generation that you can reach. That was able to cause the generation to have a schus to be saved from the various iniquities that were taking place all around Avram Visara. He saved his generation, saved the world, and paved the way for God coming into this world, for monotheism to be reintroduced to society, for people to observe once again Shemitz v'nei Noach, and cause Avram and Sarah to be given the schus to be the progenitors of Klal Yisrael in the future. Now, with all of this in mind, and therefore understanding the Mishnah in Masechtas Avos of the Sarah Nisyonos, I want to ask a kasha, which is posed by none other than one of the great gedolim of the 1800s, and his name is the Chasam Sofer of Moshe Sofer, the Gadol Hadar, one of the major Gadol Hadar of the 1800s. He asked the following question. When you look at the Asara Nisyonos in the Mishnah Masechtas Avos, that's quoted in the fifth perek, if you look in the Rishonim, Rashi, the Rambam, and everybody else who gives a list of the ten Nisyonos, you find something quite interesting. That nine of the ten Nisyonos that are mentioned by these Rishonim have actual scriptural proof, psukim in the Torah that describe the actual Nisayon from beginning to end. It's spelled out in the Chumash. You see it being talked about in the Chumash, recorded for perpetuity in the Chumash, the historical record. There's one Nisayon, however, that's not that case. And that's the Nisayon of Ur Kasdim mentioned at the end of Parshas Noach, where Avram, as a young man, decided to obliterate idolatry, reject it, and basically become a pure monotheist to believe exclusively in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only did Avram feel this way, but he rejected the ideology of his parents and the rest of the generation who were idolaters. His parents had an idol manufacturing company, which he basically, when they were not there, he broke the idols to try to prevent them from having idols to be sold to society at large, to prevent the perpetuation of idolatry in the world in which he was living. And this became such a powerful activity on Avram's part. He talked to people to convince them not to believe in idolatry. He broke idols in people's view to show that these are sticks and stones. They have no power to protect themselves. How in the world can they protect you? So why are you worshiping them? He basically wrote articles, which he left pamphlets for them to read, the philosophical and theological reasons to believe only in God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to reject all the idolatrous gods that were being worshipped at that time. He was an iconoclast. Nimrod, who was the leader of the idolatrous generation, said to Avraham, if you don't stop your activities, if you don't stop what you're doing, and you don't basically behave yourself and become an idolater once again like your parents and the rest of the generations, I'm going to kill you. Avraham said, I don't care. I'm not changing my mind. I'm rejecting all of this. As a result, he was thrown into a burning oven to be incinerated. God performed a miracle. The oven had no impact upon him whatsoever. He was able to leave the oven. Nimrod saw that quite obviously there's nothing he can do to stop Avraham. Avraham left that area in Ur Kasdim and started making his journey slowly but surely with God's request to go to Eretz Israel, to go to Eretz Canaan. The people he was Makarav, he brought them into Eretz Canaan together with him and Sarai Imenu. So Chazal point out that ness of being safe from the fiery oven, that whole episode of being threatened by Nimrod, being thrown into the oven, being saved, you will not find this narrative in any part of the Chumash, in Parshas Noach, Lech Lecha. It's not recorded. We only know he left a place called Ur Kasdim. It's only the Midrashim that explain why the place is called Ur Kasdim, because of the oven and the fire and the Nisayan, that he was thrown into a fiery oven, because he didn't want to be willing to negate his activities to destroy idolatry of that generation. That was a major nisayon. He was willing to die al kiddush Hashem, and he succeeded in not having to die, even though he didn't realize he was going to be saved. That was a tremendous nisayon. He passed the nisayon with flying colors. Why is that narrative not mentioned in the psukim as well? Sigavata Kakasha, Chasam Sof asked a powerful question, willing to die on Kiddush Hashem. This is Ha'avta Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Nafshecha, Afilu Melto Nafshecha, which is the source of being willing to die on Kiddush Hashem, Yereg Val Yava, rather be killed than violate the tenets of the Torah. Why is it not spelled out in the narrative? The Gavalda Kakasha that's posed by none other than the Chasam Sof. So the Chasam Sof not only asks the Gavaldik Akasha, he gives equally a Gavaldik incredible teretz. He points out a very interesting phenomenon. He points out that, as I mentioned before, there are two types of Kiddush Hashem that is recorded by Chazal in the Gemaras, recorded by the Rambam and the Halachas of Kiddush Hashem in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. And the two formats of Kiddush Hashem, just for review, are the following. Number one, to be willing to die for the sake of Kiddush Hashem, if they want you to violate major tenets of the faith of Judaism, if they want you to violate Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Gilaraya, sexual perversions, or Shvichas Dam, or commit murder, you have to tell them, I'm not going to do either of those three cardinal averos. We're going to kill you if you don't. You have to be willing to be killed rather than violate these terrible, terrible averos chamuros. Yehareg, let yourself be killed, and therefore what? Do not violate them. Yehareg v'al yahavar. That's the halacha. The Rambam says, when you have a zman of shmad, religious persecution, and we had many tekufas of religious persecution over the thousands and thousands of years of Klal Yisrael's existence, the religious persecution we had in Babylonia and Persia, we had later on by the Greeks and the Romans, and later on the persecution we had when it came to the Crusades, the persecution when it comes to the Spanish Inquisition, over and over and over again. I mean, the ultimate persecution we saw taking place during the Holocaust, Hashem Yerachem Aleinu, we saw tremendous religious persecution confronting the Jew, and millions of Jews were willing to die rather than violate. Yehareg Val Yavar was Klai's response to it. dying for the sake of the religion, and by dying for the sake of religion, not violating any tenets with the threat of death, caused an incredible Kiddush Shem Shamayim. However, says the Chasam Sofer, that there's another form of Kiddush Hashem, which I alluded to in the beginning of my presentation this morning. And that is the concept of a person living a life 7 days a week, 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year, and being confronted with the daily nisyanos, the trials and tribulations that we as human beings experience in our daily life and our interaction with the society in which we live. When a person lives a life in such a society, which has all different types of temptations that are counter to the Hashkafas HaTorah, and you're able to withstand these temptations, these taivas, and you're able to have a life from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to sleep that literally is surrounded in the confines of the Hashkafas and the mitzvahs of our Torah. You live a life of Torah in everything that you do, the way you eat, the way you walk, the way you sleep, the way you dress, the way you conduct business, the way you interact with other human beings. All of this, there are mitzvahs and halachas that relate to everything we do in this world. Tayag mitzvahs is just the beginning of it. There are a lot of the different, what we call minutiae, contained under the tayag mitzvahs that regulate everything we do as a human being, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, even how we sleep. For halachas, how you're supposed to sleep, etc., etc. If that's the case, living a life as a Jew in a world with full of all different types of yetzaharas and temptations, and maintaining our stance to be very strict in how we behave ourselves in all areas of human interaction and life, and base our activities exclusively on tayag mitzvahs and hashkafas haTorah, as difficult as it might be under certain circumstances, that's living a life of Kiddush Hashem. When you do activities of Avat HaBrios, and people see how fine and wonderful you are, as I mentioned before, Dibur Benachas HaBrios, you talk with them beautifully. Masamas Abinu, you're ethical and moral in your business dealings. When they see all of this, you cause Hashem's name to be beloved by others, and ultimately this is classified, as the Gemara tells us, and the Rambam Paskins, as a manifestation of living a life of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. So we have two ways of being Mekadosh Shem Hashem, which the Rambam codifies. Dying for the sake of the cause, which I mentioned before, because of the religious persecution of the Jews, dying on Kiddush Hashem. And then we have the concept of living a life of Kiddush Hashem in the way we interact with society at large, maintain our ethical, moral purity in a crazy, corrupt society, and go forward and act as an ethical, moral human being in society, the way I talk, the way I act. That's living a life of Kiddush Hashem. So says the Chasam Sofer, if you look in the crazy world in which we live, especially in some other religions that exist besides ours, that were offshoots of Judaism initially, many of these religions, Christianity and later on Islam, seem to give you the impression that in order for them to sanctify their God, whoever God they worship, you have to do this through the mechanism of martyrdom, to die for the sake of the cause. They highlight and they accentuate, you want to get the world to come, you got to die for the cause. You got to die for religious beliefs and believers and religious goals and concepts. And that's why, quite obviously, not only did they die for the cause, they want to kill other people because of the cause, I'm not adhering to the cause, but by them, martyrdom seems to be the only way to do the concept of Kiddush Hashem. In Judaism, we have two mechanisms. Dying for the sake of the cause, Kiddush Hashem number one. Living for the sake of the cause, Kiddush Hashem number two. Says the Chasam Sofer, why is it that 9 of the 10 of the Nisyanos were spelled out explicitly in the text of the Torah with narratives? Why was the case of being willing to die on Kiddush Hashem and literally have yourself thrown into a fiery furnace because you refuse to observe idolatry? Why is that only a remez? It's alluded to in the name of Ur Kasdim, but the story is not spelled out. So the Chiddush of the Chasam Sofer is that all the other nine Nisyonos, you were living in this world with Nisyonos, trials and tribulations, but you were living a life of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. That's how you Makadosh Hashem's name, by having these Nisyonos, adhering to your principles of Torah and Mitzvos, and surviving, going forth. That was living a life of Kiddush Hashem. When it comes to the Ur Kasdim phenomenon, that's an example of dying for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. So says the Chasam Sofer, in order to emphasize that in Hashem's mind, living a life of Kiddush Hashem is more important, more significant, more powerful in the eyes of Hashem than a person who's willing to die for the sake of Kiddush Hashem, in order to have that Hashkafa literally enshrined in our mind and our hearts, Hashem demonstrated this by having the narratives of living a life of Kiddush Hashem spelled out with a narrative. My sub is similar bottom, seeing what the others did and see what we have to do and emulating them, having a living Kiddush Hashem in this world. The phenomenon of dying for Kiddush Hashem, which is the Ur Kasdim phenomenon, he wanted to tone that down. He was maramazit in the word Ur Kasdim. He didn't spell it out because he doesn't want people to think Judaism wants us to die for the sake of the cause, and that's the only type of Kiddush Hashem, like Lahavdil, the Goyim emphatically say. We don't believe what the Goyim say. God says between the two types of Kiddush Hashem, the one that's more important for him when it comes to how we should live our life is living a life of Kiddush Hashem. We shouldn't try to strive only to die for the sake of the cause. We should want to live for the sake of the cause, and Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, that's more important. That's why that's spelled out in the narrative of the Torah, and die for the sake of Kiddush Hashem is only a remez, an allusion to, based upon a place name which the Chumash mentions at the end of Parshas Noah. It's a very powerful concept. To impact upon this concept, and to give you psukim, which ultimately speaking, emphasize the concept of living a life of Kiddush Hashem in this world, I want to point to you from a pasuk in the Torah, in Parshas Achrei Mos, which emphasizes this concept in the following terminology. When it comes to the concept that the mitzvah of saving life, pekuach nefesh, overrides kol ha-Torah kul, the entire Torah, the pasuk which we derive this from in Parshas Achrei Mos says, in Perek Yitches, it says, Ashayas Odom v'chai behem, we should perform mitzvahs and live by them. The Torah shall then says upon this pasuk, "V'loshia muspehem." We shall live by Torah and mitzvahs. We shouldn't die because of them. From here, Chazal derived the concept that when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, that we're supposed to impact in allowing us to live a life in this world, to survive in this world, to function in this world, and to allow things that threaten our life momentarily to be able to be overridden for the sake of perpetuating life. To be shomer Torah v'mitzvahs, cure a person now in the Chalal Shabbos, will be able to observe Shabbos in the future. We want to live a life and be mekadosh Shem Shemayim v'chai, you shall live by mitzvahs, not die because of them. We don't want to have to be subject in a nisayon that we're basically being told, if you don't die for this mitzvah, if you don't do this avera, you're going to basically speaking be killed. There the Torah says, Yerek v'yavar, that's if you have that type of nisayon. But that's not the way you should be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim on a continue ongoing basis. Your nisyonos should not be to die for the sake of the cause. The nisyonos we want are to be able to live for the sake of the cause. Chai ben v'loshiyam muspehem, v'kvach nefesh is doicha kola teicha kula, to emphasize the importance and the concept of living a life of teicha v'mitzvahs and sanctifying Hashem's name and making Hashem's name beloved to the rest of the world to interact with us. That's the ideal life a Jew is supposed to have when it comes to living in the world in which we live. We therefore see from the narrative of Avraham v'Sarah the importance of living a life of Kiddush Hashem, true, be willing to die as well if that's what's required of us, but primarily we're supposed to chayv and live by Torah, v'chata v'chayim, choose life as a way of being Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nefteres, whose name I mentioned in the beginning of my shiur today, my aunt Phyllis Horowitz, Pesel Breindl Bash Harav Shmuel, was this type of woman. She was a woman who grew up in America in a generation that didn't have the intensity of the yeshiva school for women as we have today. She learned much of what she learned in by her parents, Talmud Torahs. There weren't any Beis Yaakovs then. She became a tremendous religiously pious person, a person who was incredibly involved in Avodas Hashem. When she went to shul, when she davened with tremendous intensity, with tremendous respect for the davening. She was a shusha. She didn't want other people to talk during davening, to share her mind, to share other people that are davening. Covered Beis HaKnesses, covered the Torah. She was a woman involved not only when it comes to her own pious and meticulous observance of Torah and mitzvahs and the Kedushas of Beis HaKnesses and such. She was an outreach person. She tried to do what she could for Klal Yisrael. She had an Avat Hashem, an Avat HaBriot. She had incredible concepts of Ava that apply to Ava Satera, but she had an Ava for Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing she wouldn't do to help Achena Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael, helping raising money for Eretz Yisrael, helping bring services for Achena Bnei Yisrael. She was a person involved in showing her love and compassion. Not only did she have a Havta Hashem Elokecha, Ahavei Al Abrios, she made Hashem's name beloved by other people as well, by interacting with her. She was born with a Shem Tov. She passed away in this world with a Shem Tov. She was a matriarch of the family that I'm part of. She was my aunt, my older aunt, my father's younger sister, and her neshama. And what she did in this world, the message she left to all of us, is the importance of how important it is to live a life of a Jew and to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim with love and compassion and chesed your entire life. And the neshama should have an aliyah. We should be able to hear a simchos and Klal Yisrael at large, that Klal Yisrael realize that the more we're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim as Klal Yisrael, and the more that we generate Hashem's love and compassion to the world at large, they should realize who the Rabbanu Shalom is, and what Torah is, and what could obviously the spirituality of the world actually could be if we lived the life of Torah as a Jew and a non-Jew. Klal Yisrael continues as the early going to inculcate this in the world at large. This will bring the ultimate redemption of mankind, the coming of the Mashiach, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Messianic era. There will be an era of tremendous, not only spirituality, but health, goodness, friendliness, love, compassion, peace. It's a tekufu we're looking forward to see and to experience. We should, as Klal Yisrael, therefore, impact upon the world at large what it means to be people who love peace, Raida Shalom, Ayu Shalom, Mekadu Brios, and Bizarch, if they see that tekufa, or maybe remain, Ken Yeratzel.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.